All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. And I'll remind you guys that attorney Stan McDonald, he is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. So I'll tell you more about him in a few minutes. So, yeah, so when I was in high school, my dad and I were sitting in church one Sunday. You ever seen somebody who's trying not to laugh because they know they're not supposed to because it's not appropriate where they are, but they just can't help it? And then because they can't laugh, it just makes it worse. Like you get that almost kind of spasmodic face scrunching, lips pursed look. Well, that was my dad. We're sitting there in church and my dad's like shaking, trying not to laugh. Well, I sensed something. I looked over at him and he had closed his eyes. His shoulders were shaking. He was doing his best not to laugh too hard and make a scene in church. I leaned over and I said, "What are you doing?" And he caught his breath a minute and he wiped away one of those laughter tears and he whispered back, "Look at my feet." So trying not to be too conspicuous, I leaned forward a little bit and looked down, and then it was my turn to have a quiet fit. I mean, it was all I could do to keep it together because my dad was sitting there in church with two completely different shoes on. And I don't mean like similar, like not a bit. One was black with laces and the other was like a medium brown loafer. Apparently he'd been getting dressed that morning, couldn't figure out which one looked right with his suit, so he put one of each on and then got distracted by a phone call or something and never made it back to the ultimate question. So he went to church oblivious to the fact that he was walking around with shoes that came from two different worlds. I mean, to make it funnier, though, he had already spent the morning in Sunday school, walking around greeting people, being the very visible guy that he was. He was the one who always greeted people at church, and he was everywhere, shaking hands. There's no telling how many people saw his crazy foot fashion and wondered what was up, but didn't nobody say nothing? Well, we laughed about that for years. So my dad's story, I mean, it's good for a laugh, and it wasn't really a big deal. My dad took it in stride. In fact, he laughed at it more than anybody. But you have to wonder if there was someone in the room who called themselves his friend, who saw the shoes and chose to say nothing about it. I mean, why not? Sometimes friendship means honesty, right? Sometimes when you care about somebody, it means telling them things they may not want to hear. But I got to tell you, there's a strong movement out there creating the false narrative that saying something constructive to someone is somehow a bad thing. That's a sentiment that's good for snowflakes in the echo chamber of safe spaces on college campuses, but it is not a sentiment that is good for life. Constructive feedback is actually pretty important. Let me tell you, a good friend, a real friend, is somebody who will tell you something you need to hear, whether or not you want to hear it. And I don't just mean letting you know when you got food stuck in your teeth or when your shoes don't match. I mean, those are important. I'm talking about being there to let you know when you're headed down the wrong path of life. There's a time and a place, and certainly a manner in which the information is delivered is also important. It's also important, too, that you have earned the right to share your candid thoughts. You're not just butting in with no relationship at all to offer unsolicited advice. But if all those parameters are in place, if there's a relationship, if there is the kind of, you know, dialogue between two people that says it's okay to be honest, well, then yes, it needs to happen occasionally. In fact, feedback like that is actually healthy. Sometimes a snowflake needs an honest broker in their life, somebody who will actually speak the truth in love. In my first job out of college, I worked in a rehab center for adolescents. My boss was of the mind that if we were going to be in the business of helping kids understand why they might need to change their behavior, that we needed to be able to do so ourselves. So it was not uncommon for her to make the whole group of us sit around a conference table and give and receive what she called constructive feedback. Yeah, you had to say something positive and something constructive to each person. And it was a royal pain. It felt awkward as all get out. And sometimes it felt like a tooth-pulling session, but ultimately I did see the value in it. Because there are times when maturity and forthrightness and leadership and humility, they all have to kick in so that a person will hear what they don't want to hear. And no amount of cry rooms or safe spaces or trigger-free verbiage or mandated use of pronouns can ever save us from the fact that the world is filled with things that we don't necessarily like and believe it or want it, and we have to be willing to listen to it. So an article came out yesterday that sort of got me going in this thought. An article came out yesterday described how liberal comedian and commentator Bill Maher has once again criticized what he refers to himself as woke progressives, which is interesting. I mean, not so long ago, I would not have thought of Bill Maher as a guy that would tell liberals what they don't want to hear. But in that vein, it does appear more and more that Maher is just someone who will call it like he sees it and he's of the belief that the far-left wokists are destroying his own political party. Well, this past weekend, Maher did a podcast with comedian Jay Leno. Leno brought up how, back in the 70s, black comedian, liberal, Sammy Davis Jr. had caught a lot of flack for hugging white president conservative Richard Nixon. Apparently, cancel culture happened back then, too, as Hollywood liberals cried foul. Well, Maher reacted to Leno telling him that story by saying that it galls him that liberals today are even openly telling people to disassociate themselves from family and friends over the holidays as if they voted for Trump. Maher said that that's one of the things that he hates about the left, his own people. He went on to say in some pretty colorful language that he doesn't ever see himself as a Trump supporter, but at the same time, he is not going to forsake real relationships with people he cares about just because of some misguided sentiment that requires that nobody can ever say something that somebody else doesn't want to hear. How about Tulsi Gabbard? Tulsi Gabbard famously left the Democrat Party, which is significant, by the way, in any event, even more so considering that she was a Democrat member of Congress and she also ran for president as a Democrat. But even when she was still a registered Democrat, she also filed suit against Hillary Clinton for defamation, and she called out her own party on multiple issues. I mean, next thing you know, she was a guest host for Tucker Carlson. She became friends with Donald Trump. She has now been nominated to serve as the Director of National Intelligence as a Republican member of the Trump administration. Go figure. But now we come to the ultimate in safe spaces, and we need to talk about this. The ultimate example of snowflakes being triggered by the very idea that honest brokers might say things that make them uncomfortable. As we wait and watch whether or not President Biden will pardon everyone and everything that he and his ilk have mistakenly believed that Trump doesn't like. We're hearing that Biden is considering massive proactive pardons for people who haven't even been investigated, much less indicted or convicted. People like Anthony Fauci or Liz Cheney or Merrick Garland or Alejandro Mayorkas or Adam Schiff and more. People who need Biden to set up a safe space because they don't want to risk hearing something that makes them uncomfortable. They can't abide by the idea that a Republican Congress might call them to testify and they would have to hear things they don't like, things that they actually need to hear, things they absolutely need to hear. Biden's pardons are the ultimate example that the left does not like constructive criticism. The left is actually triggered by truth, horrified by honesty, fearful of feedback. In the end, somebody has to say what needs to be said. Somebody has to demand that we be a society that encourages constructive feedback, that encourages healthy debate. That's even scriptural, by the way. And I've quoted it here before, that we are to, quote, be ready at all times to explain why we believe what we believe, but do so with gentleness and respect. That's a slight paraphrase of 1 Peter 3:15. And yes, I do know that that verse is actually talking about explaining our faith, but it's a principle that we can use to extend to anything. But the fact that it reminds us to, quote, do so with gentleness and respect is a clear indication that there are topics that not everybody wants to deal with or hear about, but we are told to discuss them anyway. Yeah, we have got to be willing, got to be able, and allowed, by the way, to say things that need to be said in politics, in family, at work, in life in general. It means being willing to love them enough to make them mad at you. It means being an honest broker. It also means that snowflakes need to step into the real world and be told things they don't like sometimes. But the left has a problem with that. And I'm just saying, it needs to be said. Honest brokers and snowflakes sometimes have to go together. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.